And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Wednesday morning, everybody. We've got all of your action from the very first real play-in games of the 2021 playoffs. I'm Dave DeFore. Mo Dekeel is here. Mo, the play-in is awesome. The first game wasn't, and we'll get to it, but Celtics-Wizards, while the score wasn't close, still an exciting game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really fun game. Just look at the fact that Jason Tatum decided to explode for 50 points tonight. You know, just an unbelievable performance from him. You know, his third quarter, I'm pulling up the numbers because, you know, I never come fully prepared. 23 points in the third quarter alone. Like, I mean, just to put it in context, the Wizards had 26 as a team. You know, I think the Celtics as a whole, just a really strong performance that they kind of desperately needed to just sort of feel good again.
Yeah, you mentioned Tatum, 50 points. Actually, 17 of 17 from the free throw line, which is, I mean, you know, that's what superstars do in playoff games, right? They get to the line and then they hit their shots. 5 of 12 from 3. Really great overall performance. But before he got going, Kemba Walker kept him in it and kept him moving.
Yeah, I mean, Kemba was great really throughout the game, just hitting shots, you know, kind of keeping it going. He's the one, I think, that got the run started with back-to-back threes, you know, one off of an inbounds play. I think it was out of a timeout where Westbrook kind of screwed up the coverage. Then another one off of a Tatum kickout. You know, I think the Celtics as a whole had a little bit better ball movement, better player movement as well. And the big thing is they attacked the paint, you know, and I think that was a big reason for Tatum getting those 17 free throws, which tied a season high free throw attempts for the season, you know, and that's something that's been a mark on Tatum, right? People have been saying doesn't get to the line enough, and it was good to see that tonight. And I think Walker kind of, he's been playing really well despite the team sucking for the past few weeks. He's been playing pretty well, and I think it's good for him to see that continue.
Well, and you know, Kemba, you put Kemba in a sort of single elimination game, and I wonder if he just has those flashbacks to college and he just
UConn,
can't help
just UConn,
himself.
Just UConn,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
It would have only been more fun if this was in MSG.
Oh yeah. So 32 free throw attempts for the Celtics. I mean, they're typically down toward the bottom of the league. How are they getting to the basket? Was it only attacking the paint?
Honestly, yes, they were just consistently attacking the paint all night long. And it wasn't necessarily always for just twos. You know, that would lead to the kickout opportunities. I mean, they were sucking in the defense and then kicking it out from there. I think, you know, that just kind of created those opportunities. And just a constant barrage of, we're going to keep going into the paint, keep going into the paint. You know, by doing that, it wasn't just Tatum. You know, Walker got in there a few times. Evan Fournier had a couple of runs in there. Marcus Smart had a little bit of action in there in the first half. I think all of that sort of just built that avalanche that led to the Celtics getting so many free throws.
Well, let's talk about that third quarter for Tatum a little bit before we talk about the Wizards' issues. I mean, 23 points, 7 of 10 from the field, 7 of 7 from the line. I mean, I'd put that quarter of basketball, I mean, if we're counting this as playoffs, I'd put that quarter of basketball.
We're not counting this as playoff. Don't do it. We're not counting this as playoff.
I was
going to
say, that's the best quarter. That's the best quarter for sure that I've seen from Tatum in a playoff style game. That might be the best quarter I've seen from him ever. When you look at the way he was scoring and the way he was drawing in the defense, I mean, this is the sort of growth that we've seen out of Tatum. And now that he's back to looking more like himself physically, like he doesn't look exhausted at the end of games. He gives him a chance to win anytime he's out there, even if Jaylen Brown is out, and even if, you know, like Robert Williams had to leave this game, only played 14 minutes, the turf toe started acting up. You know, their bigs are not doing them a lot of favors, but Jason Tatum, I think he can score no matter who the big is.
Yeah, but he has to be consistent with this. We have to see this more often than not. You know, that stat I told you of 17 free throw attempts, you know, the other time he hit 16 free throws attempts, you know, and then there's a little bit of a gap to 13. He needs to be a regular 15 free throw a night guy, and a lot of that is by attacking the paint. We've seen a lot of games where he just settles, and his go-to move, a clutch shot in game time situations, is a sidestep three. That is not going to get you to the free throw line. That's not, you might make some of those, but it's not going to put too much pressure on the defense. We need to see this consistently from him to be, I'm going to constantly attack and put the pressure on the defense and on the officials.
For the Wizards, you know, Beal and Westbrook didn't quite have it going. I thought Beal physically looked pretty good, especially early on. How did you feel about Beal working through that hamstring?
I'm with you. I thought it looked good early. I think just as time kind of wore down a little bit, he started to fade a bit, you know, and I think it's one of those things. It's hard, man. You got to just imagine between timeouts, halftime, and things like that, trying to keep that warm the whole time. It's really easy for that to kind of tighten up, and I think it sort of wore him down a bit. You know, he gave everything he had. I mean, got 25 shots off, you know, scored 22 points, so that's obviously not a great number there, 1 of 6 from three. But, you know, it's a lot of the other guys, too, that I think really kind of hurt the Wizards. You know, obviously Westbrook, not the best game he could have had, but Davis Bertans, 1 of 8, 0 for 7 from 3, that's a killer. You know, they got some nice play from Ish Smith, got a little post action from Robin Lopez, who got double teamed, which was weird, on a play. But, you know, I think they just need more from those guys. They need everybody to contribute, especially when Beal's kind of banged up.
Yeah, you can blame that double team on Fred Katz exclusively, because he wrote about the little jump hook over at The Athletic. You know, look, on these nights where Westbrook is struggling to shoot, and if Beal's not 100%, I mean, it's already difficult to create shots in the NBA as it is. But if Westbrook's not also putting pressure on the defense, Beal's job gets a lot harder. And then you throw in the guy, you know, you've got this shooter, Davis Bertans, 0 for 7 from 3. Now, all of a sudden, this is a much trickier path to sort of go down, and they just, plain and simple, couldn't keep up with Boston.
No, period. I mean, listen, you're not going to win a game if you go 3 for 21 from three.
No, you didn't shoot enough threes, first of all.
Well, they didn't make two more. Just feel better about it, you know? I mean, there's a whole thing, you know, I think it's along those lines of you're not going to, especially if you're the Wizards, you're not going to make a lot of those. And you're not going to win a lot of those in that instance. A couple teams may overcome it, very few, but not this team.
Yeah, and then given the foul situation, I mean, Hachimura had 5 fouls, Russ had 5 fouls, Gafford had 4. You know, they not only were they putting Boston on the line, but they also weren't able to be as aggressive defensively. You know, Hachimura is very important to their defense, and Tatum goes on that run. There's no coincidence there that Hachimura was on the bench with 4 fouls.
I mean, yeah, no. I mean, listen, part of the reason
I mean, it's
why
still Rui Hachimura.
No. I'm not even trying to take a shot at Rui. It's simple as, you know, part of the reason why he had those fouls was because Tatum's so aggressive. And Dave, on almost any night, Tatum should be able to go at Hachimura on the defensive end. Like, he should be able to dominate that matchup on any night. So, and that's not a shot at Rui. When Tatum's going like this, there's very few people that can guard him.
Tatum's a guy that I think is going to be an MVP candidate for the rest of his career, right? Like, he's playing at that level, and we see it. He has all the shots in his bag. I think next year, that's a guy we should all probably be thinking about, especially when you see the way he plays in the games that matter.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The opening game of the play-in was kind of a dud, Mo. 144-117 in regulation. The Indiana Pacers won this game. Look, you hang 150 in a play-in, playoff, I don't care if it's an exhibition game. You hang 150 on a team, that's embarrassing. What happened to Charlotte?
I mean, they didn't defend at all. They couldn't make a shot, especially in the first half. You know, they had pretty good looks, I thought, in the first half. They just couldn't make them. Like, as if there was a lid on the rim. Like, there was nothing was going in for a good amount of time. But, you know, you got to tip your hat to the Pacers. I mean, Dave, we did a whole Nerder She Wrote episode talking about all the chaos going in Indiana, and now they're on their way to the second game in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, they look locked in, and I think great sign for them to be that locked in. And, you know, early on, they threw a haymaker, and Charlotte never responded. You know, they were up 20-7 to start this game. They started 7 of 11 from 3. Sabonis, even though his shot early on wasn't really working for him, he did everything else. He finished this game, 14 points, 21 rebounds, 9 assists. Indiana had no one playing, no Miles Turner. I mean, it just we all saw this injury report in the morning and just assumed this was going to be a rout from Charlotte, but none of us anticipated a huge game from Doug McDermott.
Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting, especially when I got to own up here. I didn't give them much of a chance when I saw that LeVert was going to be out in the COVID protocol. So they tough situation. And then McDermott just comes out. And listen, Dougie McBuckets got going in the first quarter, Dave, and he lit the Hornets up. And it was like they kept getting disconnected defensively from him. And that just led to easy looks for him.
Yeah, and Sabonis is great at finding him. And, you know, look, for Charlotte, this is tough, but it's a young team. They don't have playoff experience. And this is what happens to young teams without playoff experience. They can get shell-shocked like this. And I think this is a great example of why they brought in Gordon Hayward. And you really saw today that they missed that calming influence.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, so before we wrap, I want to ask you about the next set of games we've got coming up. Because, look, Boston's going to have to play Brooklyn. That's what they get for this. They won this game. Great. Now you get to play Brooklyn. Well, let me ask you, after seeing this performance, is there any chance that Boston can beat Brooklyn?
In the series? No. In badminton, maybe. But, like, you know, I don't necessarily feel like Boston has what it takes. Even as great as a performance as this was, look, only 3 guys in double figures. And the third guy was Tristan Thompson tonight.
All right. Last question. If you're Philadelphia, would you rather play Indiana or Washington?
That's a tough one because both teams have bigs, and I feel like Indiana sort of just gives Philly problems. You know, there's always that one team that just screws your crap up a bit. I think I'm going to go Indiana, but I don't feel too confident. I think both of those teams, can they get Boston? I think that's really what they would like.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like a team that has no bigs whatsoever. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Don't forget about all the podcasts we got over at The Athletic on The Athletic Podcast Network. If you haven't already subscribed, go to theathletic.com/dailyding and do it now. Mo, this was awesome. Play in, playoff, wild cards, I don't care. Send everybody to work for me, Mo.
Ding, ding.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.